You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Co-hosting with me this hour, the third and final of tonight's live broadcast, is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and you're listening to the Political Cesspool from our flagship radio station, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations across the country of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting around the world via the internet. And I'm telling you, to a lot more people, the traffic to this program is beginning to increase over 110% since May 1st. Let the truth be told and the chips fall where they may, and it is our honor. I tell you, from Sheriff Richard Mack, we go to another heavyweight, another hero of the American people, former DEA agent, Robert Mazur. He was an undercover agent and author of The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe this is Bob's third appearance with us. And we are so honored to have him back. Bob, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Bob, it sure is good to have you back, fellow. We've been scrambling around here, had a few little difficulties here in the station, but it's so wonderful to have you back. You know, I've really been excited having you on. I'm just going to introduce you a little bit. You know, Bob has—he's got the courage of a lion. He infiltrated the Mexican Medellin drug cartel. He's infiltrated the Colombians. Bob's work was responsible for bringing down the seventh largest bank in the world. And Bob, would you like to tell us a little bit about that? What you did about that bank? Then we'll get right in what you want to talk about.
Sure. Well, I was a federal agent for 27 years. And during that time frame, for 5 years, I was a long-term undercover agent. So I got the opportunity to volunteer to be embedded within the Medellin cartel. And in doing so, as a money launderer embedded in real businesses, an investment company, a financial consulting business, a mortgage brokerage business, a air charter service with a private jet, and a jewelry chain with 70 locations on the East Coast, and even a brokerage firm with a seat on the New York Stock Exchange. I had tremendous resources that were given to me to infiltrate the Medellin cartel and to become a money launderer for them, and to infiltrate from that perspective toward the command and control of those organizations, and to help bring down some of the senior people within the cartel. I became a conduit for them to, as you mentioned, the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, the seventh largest privately held bank in the world. And it was a bank that was, unfortunately, like many, involved in the laundering of drug proceeds for criminal organizations. And as a result, I and my partner recorded about 1,200 conversations and developed what was the foundation of the prosecution of the senior management of the bank, as well as some senior members of the cartel for their involvement in the in drug trafficking and money laundering.
You know, Bob, I sit here amazed. I've recorded conversations before. I don't know whether it was legal or not, I don't know. a place of employment. I worked back in the 90s. I was a, this is just an aside. You may know I'm a registered nurse. I don't do this all the time, even though I'm one of the co-hosts here. And we're growing like crazy. Our audience has exploded since you were on here last, Bob. So I hope you get a lot more exposure. I'm hoping you do, because people like you need the exposure. But I taped an executive for one of the high nursing chains, they're a big nursing chain all over the United States, and they were trying to give me a hard time. They were trying to force me to forge some, to change my nursing documentation about a patient they brought in. And at the time, I was the house supervisor there, and I sent him out to a place called the Med here in Memphis, because we were not prepared to take care of this kid. And the hospital had him, in hospital nursing home, quote, had him sent back. to us. And so I just did a lot of documentation just to make myself, to cover my back, to show that I did try to hand him off, hand the kid off to a qualified, a medical agency that could care for the child. The med could do that. Well, they tried to make me change my nursing documentation because they knew they had screwed up. And so I taped the head honcho of this this organization in his office. And so I know it, but my life was never at risk. I never did. My life was not on the line. And this wasn't on my script, but if you talked about it, what you did, how on earth did you have the courage to tape that many conversations? I mean, those people would have killed you in a heartbeat. At any time, did you ever panic or freeze up?
Well, luckily, no. But, I credit that to the fortunate situation I had, where I was given the opportunity to be trained by some of the most successful long-term undercover agents, Joe Pistone, the former FBI agent who the book and the movie Donnie Brasco is based upon, was one of my mentors. And there were many people involved in the training process, psychologists. I get involved very much in training now for law enforcement officers, and I jokingly tell them the reason for the psychologists to be involved in the vetting process for long-term undercover agents is to determine whether or not you're adequately crazy enough to be able to do this type of work. But I think that that there are certainly psychological issues and even physical issues that you need to be prepared for. And I was blessed to get great training. And thereafter, I was very fortunate that I had leadership that allowed me to spend about 18 months putting together what I think is one of the more sophisticated money laundering fronts that one could use. I didn't carry a badge. I didn't carry a gun. I basically relied totally on the abilities of the front that I was using that gave me the confidence that people believed within the underworld that I was who I claimed that I was. And if you don't try to approach it from that way, if you don't have the adequate training and the adequate preparation, it, as you say, it can be an extraordinarily dangerous situation. I mean, there were meetings, and there's no way to prepare for this, but there was a time when I was in a meeting or two where I was pointedly accused of being a DEA undercover agent, principally because there was some very, very aggressive surveillance that was being done around the pickups of currency. Your listeners should understand that there are probably about 10 cities in the United States where this happens most often, but there, it can happen in just about any city, unfortunately, where millions of dollars in boxes and suitcases are picked up on the streets and given over to professional money launderers or smugglers of cash, most often now, who smuggle the cash south across, and I won't even call it a border because it's not, I don't think it qualifies as a border. It's a frontier where people can take money across or drugs across. And when we come back from the break, I can give you a little bit more insight into that.
Talk about a professional guest. I mean, this guy knows radio. He's taking us into break, and rightly so, quite timely. Hey, folks, when we come back, Bob Mazur, the incredible Bob Mazur, we're going to talk about the new cartel, Hezbollah. Stay tuned. The plot thickens on the political cesspool.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of 6 number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and our special guest, true American hero, Bob Mazur, former DEA agent, author of The Infiltrator, and we were covering in that first segment, that introductory segment, we had the leisure of having an introductory segment because Bob has graciously agreed to appear with us for the full hour. We were covering some of the topics that we had covered previously in Bob's appearances with us last year, which were truly highlights. Getting into depth of his work undercover in Pablo Escobar's cartel. And folks, I would direct you to our broadcast archives and encourage you to consult those particular shows. But tonight we're going to be talking about Hezbollah. That is the primary topic on the docket. And the U.S. has uncovered clear proof that Hezbollah has joined forces with Mexican and Colombian drug cartels to move hundreds of tons of cocaine and billions in drug proceeds around the world. Hezbollah's goal? Fund terrorism. Additional proof now links Hezbollah to attempts to sell large amounts of arms and explosives to drug trafficking organizations in the Americas. Hezbollah's presence in the South and North America has grown significantly. And the question to Bob first is, why, Bob?
Well, you know, the world is getting smaller every year, unfortunately, and Hezbollah is driven to create capital so that they can carry out their principal goal, which is to kill those in the Western world who they perceive don't embrace their view of the world. And the Drug Enforcement Administration, thankfully, has really focused on that particular threat. Your listeners can go to a congressional subcommittee report. Senator McCaul, M-C-C-A-U-L, from Texas, is the chairman of that subcommittee. And if you Google the name of their subcommittee report, a line in the sand, you'll find very, very particular information concerning the cases that clearly establish that Hezbollah has given a high priority to dealing with the Mexican and Colombian drug cartels to generate capital for their terrorist activities. There's one particular case that deserves a real close look. The defendant's name is Juma, J-O-U-M-A-A. So if you just Google Juma, J-O-U-M-A-A, drug trafficking and money laundering, you'll see a very, very detailed story about the global businesses run by Mr. Juma, a Lebanese-Colombian, and what a lot of people may not recognize, and I've been in the drug world for the drug law enforcement world for 30-some years, so I can tell you that there are many, many generations of people from Lebanon who have an expertise in trading in merchandise around the world, who are very, very involved in the free trade zones around the world. And that creates a very natural cover, unfortunately, that is exploited by those who are corrupted within the Lebanese business community to use that for a cover for the movement of drugs and money around the world. The scariest thing for me is to contemplate, here we have global companies that are moving container loads of goods around the world on a regular basis in a front that looks quite legal. And not only do they have a desire now, unfortunately, to move drugs and money, but it wouldn't take a rocket scientist to recognize that they would also have an interest and probably will soon be inclined to move hazardous materials around the globe within the containers in the commercial world in which they deal. And so the threat to us as a nation, as it relates to the drug world, has, in my view, been notched up, not just from the drug world of the Mexican and Colombian drug cartels who want to make profits for their own selfish reasons, but now with the introduction of the terrorist organizations, it makes it a very, very high a national security issue that we need to be very mindful of and to give the highest resources that we can possibly give to that particular threat, because it is a major threat to everyone in the United States.
We know, Bob, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, the last part you said, our government, am I close enough, Sam? You know, our government has been caught red-handed. Like we talked about on the former show, Bob, you and I and James, we have a government inside a government. We have a CIA inside a CIA. In light of the government being busted red-handed with Fast and Furious, dealing drugs, bringing drugs in from Mexico into what we call the border, and I agree with you, Bob, we have no border. It's a frontier. And taking military-grade firearms by the tractor-trailer load into Mexico, any action, you know, I would say, what action has our government taken to address this problem you're talking about? And if they do, I mean, can we trust any action that they're going to take to try to stem the tide of this what's going on here in light if they're dealing the drugs themselves? But what about that, Bob?
Well, you know, I think first we need to recognize that we have and truly do have, because I know personally many of the people who are, in my view, patriots, who are government servants, who really and truly believe in the most core issues that relate to our safety and enforcing the laws within the federal government to deal with illegal arms dealing, to deal with illegal drug trafficking. The problem that we face is that there is at times, from an administration standpoint, approaches that are taken that kind of make it a big challenge for those who want to carry out their duties, and I know there's a tremendous amount of frustration within the law enforcement community. You know, Fast and Furious was an unfortunate embarrassment that really just a handful of people are totally responsible for. I deal on a regular basis with active law enforcement officers, and I know personally ATF agents, active ATF agents, who were in the field at the time, who told me shortly after Fast and Furious became public that they were well aware that that office in Phoenix was operating outside outside the box, and they were doing things that everyone was scratching their head as to how is it that these guys are doing what it is that they're doing. So, I mean, I think unfortunately there are times when we, despite all the efforts that are made by many to do the right thing, there are times when the Fast and Furious type activity occurs. But the good news is that I think that there's a very, very broad number of public servants who really want to be a part of making a difference, who try to be a part of making a difference at the time. The problem we face is that at times the administration, I mean, you can just look at what's happened from the tax standpoint. You know, we had an administration here that felt that it was extraordinarily important for them to allow taxpayers to electronically file tax returns, especially those involved in the lower income levels with where they were within 48 hours given, had mandated a refund by their electronic filing. And it didn't take very long for those involved in the lower levels of the drug world, I'm talking about people who sell drugs on the street, who recognized that this was a complete giveaway to them. They didn't even need to deal drugs anymore. They wanted to start making false tax returns and immediately filing and getting debit cards back from the government, whereby they were able to make billions of dollars. And just in Tampa alone, if your listeners will just Google, please do Google Tampa Police Department, IRS fraudulent tax refunds or something along those lines, you'll find $100 million fraud. Unfortunately, because of the administration's position on getting 48-hour turnarounds on electronic tax filings, $100 million fraud just in Tampa, and the fraud that relates to that type of activity is in the billions.
Bob, we got to take a break. Interesting point. We're going to continue with this, ladies and gentlemen. We return right after this on the Liberty News Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Before we proceed any further in this utterly riveting and enthralling conversation with Bob Mazur, I want to be sure to direct you to his website where you can support his work, learn more about his career, and most importantly, buy the book, The Infiltrator, My Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. Bob, would you give us the honor of announcing your website?
Sure. It's the-infiltrator.com. That's the-infiltrator.com. You can get all kinds of information about the book, reviews of the book, and actually the movie development project that's ongoing, which hopefully will take us into production the beginning of this of 2014.
As if you were reading off my very notes, Bob, I was going to ask you the current progress with regards to the movie project, and I guess you just answered it.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, and we've got some wonderful people who are involved in the development of the movie. A production company out of the UK, Good Films, George Films. It's two different companies that are interrelated. But most importantly, we've got a team from L.A., headed by director Brad Furman, who is an up-and-coming, very, very talented director, and a person who I feel has become a friend, who has given me the opportunity not only to be involved in the development of my book into a movie, but also to work with him in a technical consulting standpoint on movies that have been made during this past year. I got the chance this past summer to work with him on a movie that's coming out this September. Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake are the two major actors in it, called Runner Runner. It'll be out this September, and it's all about the global internet gambling businesses that are so often run out of Costa Rica. And so I really feel good about Brad's approach in our movie, as and I saw that working with him on these other movies, where he respects my view and allows me to be involved in the creative process. I'm an executive producer on the program for our movie, and he wants me involved in every single shoot to give him as much of the true story as I possibly can. And of course, they're going to give it a little Hollywood twist, and they have to, I guess, because people who sit in the seats really want that a little bit. But I'd say 80% of the movie is going to be the real deal, and I'm really happy about that, and I'm looking forward to getting involved in that creative process.
Well, I didn't intend to take a departure from the line of questioning that you and Eddie were in, but I wanted to be sure to get into that because it is so encouraging. And if you would do us the honor, we would love to have you back when the movie is getting ready to hit theaters to help you promote it. But, you know, so much that, you know, comes out of Hollywood, and so much that makes it to the theaters these days are subversive and immoral. And anyone who listens to this show knows that we don't blow smoke at our guests just because they're on the air with us. That's not the kind of men we are. But I will tell you this, I'm so excited that a movie is being made about your life, your story. One that is worthy of adulation, and one that needs to be told. And so we're very proud of that's happening. And congratulations again from our team here and from the network itself. But back to the topic at hand, Eddie, back to Hezbollah.
Well, one little brown-nosing point here, James. I'm going to put the agent on the spot. Bob, I assume, an invitation to the premiere when you go there will be forthcoming for your one of your favorite radio hosts. Is that true?
Absolutely. You're guaranteed.
I tell you what, I got to lay the brown nosing down. You know, I'm gonna follow up what James said. I may be a little off script, but I tell you what, you're kind of like a paradox, Agent Bob. You know, you sound like a college English professor when you speak, a college, you know, from an Ivy League school, and you're just as cool and calm and collected, and you've been flirting with death with the most vicious people in the face of the earth. You know, I'd just like to let the people know that. And I don't know if that's sunk in on our guest, just, you know, how cool and calm and tough you are mentally. And I'm in awe of you. But getting back on the topic, Bob, hope you don't mind me calling you Bob. I feel like you're a friend, you know.
No. But, and just let me say that I think, you know, what we all need to recognize is that there are literally hundreds of patriots out there who really want to be a part of making a difference, who've dedicated their lives to being law enforcement officers, and who are willing to put their life on the line every single day, and they do that for us. And it's so important for us to remember that, because too often they wind up with an image that's thrown upon them that's much more negative than what they're really all about. I am blessed with the opportunity to continue to deal with active law enforcement officers at a very, very high level. There's a unit within the Drug Enforcement Administration called the Special Operations Division, and I have to give them kudos here for what it is that they do. This is a very small unit of probably 35 agents, and you put the staff together, it's maybe 50 people, and they wind up enforcing extraterritorial laws. I mean, they address threats around the world, working with our military and intelligence community, and not just ours, but also those within our ally nations. And they go after the heads of the snakes. They go after the biggest of the big people in the world. And in just the last couple of years, you know, I mentioned earlier in the program the Juma case. A very, very high-level Lebanese-Colombian money launderer and drug trafficker who was exposed, he and his organization, from them. But they've done things, cases like the Victor Boot case. Victor Boot was a Russian military personnel. He was very closely aligned with the KGB. He was the person who is most responsible for providing illegal arms to terrorist organizations around the world. And the Special Operations Division of DEA put together a very sophisticated international plan to lure him to a meeting in Thailand that then resulted in his extradition to the U.S. and his prosecution. He's now serving a 25-year sentence in the U.S. It's those type of threats that exist around the world that unfortunately we don't hear enough about the tremendous work that are done that's done by very, very dedicated men and women who really want to be a part of making a difference for us every single day, and they do, and they put their lives on the line every single day.
Bob, you're so right. I couldn't be more happy that you brought that up. And you know, I meant to talk about that earlier, and I forgot. I appreciate you reminding me. I would like to ask a question, but first I'd like to say this. I believe that what you said, we have probably the vast majority. In fact, we have here in Shelby County, we have a lot of stellar sheriff deputies. Sorry, I can't say the same about the sheriff. I know him. I don't think he's corrupt. I played high school football against him. We fight on the weekends. Of course, I always came out on top, not tooting my horn too much. He was my wife's eighth grade girlfriend, but I think he's in the pocket of the feds. And what I'd like to say, I think most of our good, stellar sheriff deputies, DEA agents, FBI agents, I think they're what the communists used to say. They're catching pressure from below and pressure from above. They're fighting the drug cartels and the scumbags on the street. And yet at the very highest level, the CIA within the CIA, we discussed about the last time we were in office, they're having to watch their back with them too. And Bob, I'd like to ask you, what do you think about Oath Keepers and the CSPOA? The Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Organization. Are you familiar with that group?
No. Say that again. Which group?
Well, for instance, the Oath Keepers. I'm a member of Oath Keepers, former or present military. I'm past military vet. I was a mm-hmm. medic in Vietnam. And Oath Keepers is composed of, you can be former military, prior military, former police, present, you can be currently serving police, or you can be in as honorary members as a citizen. Now, Oath Keepers, we've have 12 general orders. We've sworn that we will not disarm the public. We will not turn cities into a concentration camp. We will not obey any unconstitutional order whatsoever, no matter if the Supreme Court, the Congress, the state, no matter who passes an unconstitutional act, we will not enforce that. We have a group of sheriffs here in the United States, and we had one of them on, or Sheriff Mack was on earlier. He's a big mover, head and honcho in the organization. What do you think about that organization, Bob?
Well, I really need to do my homework on the organization itself, but I can tell you that as far as I'm concerned, the Constitution is the light, and that's what I, at least as a federal agent, I, in my heart of hearts, always wanted to follow, and I believe that it's extraordinarily important for us. I'm starting to hear the music in the back, so I guess when we come back from the break, I'll tell you what really drove me as an agent, that it had nothing to do with what type of badge I had, what color it was, what agency it was. What really drove me was being a person who served the public, to serve the people.
And we're going
to
wrap things up, bring this awful...
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Welcome back
to get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the final segment that we have with our esteemed and featured guest of the evening, former DEA agent Bob Mazur. Don't forget to check out his website, buy the book, support his work, learn more about his incredible career at the-infiltrator.com, the-infiltrator.com. And Bob, right before we went to that last commercial break, I know we have departed a couple of times and chased a few rabbits, but let's bring it back full circle and get back on focus and bring this thing into summation. What do you say?
Well, what I was explaining before the break was that I was a federal agent, but you know, my whole driven thought was, in order to be to do the right thing, I needed to be able to look my my family, my neighbors, friends, anybody who I walked, who I might have come in contact with, and to be able, in my heart of hearts, to be able to say, you know, I did the very best for you today that I could possibly do. My decisions couldn't be based upon what anything other than serving the public. And I know that there are many, many people who become law enforcement officers who are driven by that thought. And I think that it's what got me through that whole process, in a way where I, at least in my heart of hearts, believe that I did do the right thing. And there's it didn't really even matter what agency I worked for, what color the badge was, what the name was, because I was in three different federal agencies, and I worked with many, many state and local law enforcement officers. But as long as we all have that same common goal, and our goal is to serve the public and to never forget that that's what it's really all about, it'll all come together.
Well, Bob, let me ask you another question. In fact, it's my fault. I've got us off topic, man. I wanted you to talk about what you originally came on to talk about, but I get so excited we have a guest of your caliber to come on. Is Hezbollah, and by the way, you beat some awfully big names in the news business. Radio Liberty didn't even know Hezbollah was in Mexico. Bob, is Hezbollah in Mexico, and are they operating with the Mexican drug cartel?
Absolutely. What we need to recognize is that they're, you know, Lebanon. There has been a migration of people from Lebanon into South America, Central America, for many, many generations. There are more people of Lebanese descent in South America than there are in Lebanon. Lebanon is the home of Hezbollah. There is a very live and active relationship between the administration of the Venezuelan government and the Iranian government, those involved in Hezbollah. The Syrian government and the Lebanese government. There is a very active trade business between, legal trade I'm speaking of, between Venezuela and the nations in West Africa. And that has created this bridge from the legal world to the illegal world for the unfortunate perfect cover of their involvement in the international drug trade. There are nations throughout West Africa, Benin, Guinea-Bissau, Togo, Benin, Mali. These are all nations whose leadership has been corrupted by the cartels. The Western African nations collectively operate in the same fashion that the Mexican cartels operate on behalf of the Colombian cartels for the distribution of drugs throughout the world. There are principally two routes. We know very, because we read about it every day, the routes that go from South America through Mexico and then into the United States. It's the Colombian cartels selling on a wholesale basis to the Mexican cartels, who in turn, unfortunately, turn to the street gangs throughout the United States. MS-13 is one of the biggest ones. There's 100,000 members within Chicago alone. These street gangs distribute the drugs on behalf of the Mexican cartels. But then there's another route that goes from Venezuela, because of their very, very heavy involvement with Hezbollah, through the African nations, mostly French-speaking African nations, that have a strong Hezbollah presence, that therefore collectively become the Mexico for the European routes, where the drugs are sent from Venezuela in planes and in marine vessels over to Africa, then from there up into Europe. The money goes into Lebanon, goes to Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, and other countries with no transparency in their banking activities. And so those two major alleys operate all the time, and we have become, unfortunately, because of the insatiable appetite that the U.S. Citizens have for illegal drugs, we have become a major money generator, not only for the cartels of Mexico and Colombia, but also for our gravest enemies, the terrorist organizations that would love to eliminate the Western world.
Bob, I got to ask you a question. You mentioned the drugs coming to the United States. I don't know if you remember, I think we may have talked about this in the past. Gary Webb, a very well-known newspaper reporter of the San Diego Mercury Star, researched about 2 years on the connections with the CIA and smuggling drugs to the Crips and the Bloods in L.A. His name was Gary Webb. He wrote a series of articles called The Dark Alliance. Are you familiar with that? And what, more importantly, in your opinion, Bob, is there a CIA within the CIA, a rogue CIA, that did participate and that did bring drugs into L.A. to the Bloods and the Crips in order to raise money to fund their dark alliance wars throughout the world? Is it, in your opinion, did that happen?
Well, you know, I can only be very pointed about my personal experiences, and I can tell you this, that the banks that I dealt with, which were the gateways for the laundering of drug proceeds, not only had a very close alliance with the leadership of the Colombian drug cartels that I was a part of, but that they also catered to the intelligence communities around the world. The financial advisor who dealt with me personally at the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, thinking that I was a money launderer, which in fact I was in an undercover capacity, but seeing me as a money launderer for the cartel, was also a man who was responsible for the movement of funds on behalf of the CIA and other intelligence agencies all over the world. And in fact, his father was the head of the ISI, the equivalent of the CIA in Pakistan. And so I found in my undercover role that there was a very, very close relationship and kind of a gatekeeper relationship between the cartels and the intelligence community through their use of the common money gatekeepers that moved money around the world. It's a very unfortunate and startling reality that those individuals who helped the cartels also helped the intelligence communities. But you know, the fact of the matter is that they help anybody who has money seeking secrecy from governments. They'll help anybody who's got drug money. They'll help anybody who's got, you know, money from illegal arms dealing, tax evasion, evasion of customs duty, pilfering treasuries in third world countries, dealing with prohibited nations like Iran during the time frame now, where it would otherwise be a violation of the Trading with the Enemy Act. And so we can look to, unfortunately, cases like most recently, just 3 or 4 months ago, the exposure of HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corporation. Sounds like a long away bank, but it's really not. It's one of the biggest banks in the UK, but it is, if you've been in any airport in the United States or anywhere, they call themselves the world's bank. They had more than 400 branches in the United States, and they were recently found to be moving almost $1 billion on behalf of Colombian and Mexican drug cartels, moving tens of billions of dollars for people dealing with Iran. And also dealing with the intelligence community. So it's a very scary nexus with the international banking community.
Bob, we're about to run out of time. We're getting real close. I would just like to salute you because I think I've kind of won a bet here. I told James, you don't back away from anything. I've asked you some pretty heavy questions tonight, and you hadn't backed off any. You come through, you come through like a champ. And I'm really impressed with you. Before we run out of time, before I turn over to James, I'd like to mention one more thing. You mentioned the Trading with the Enemy Act. If you, Emma, you correct me if I'm wrong. That act was around during World War II and even prior to World War II when Herbert Bush, who was with a Union Bank, I think probably in Rhode Island, and they were laundering money with the Nazis in World War II. If there's any truth to that, with that last question I'm asking, I'm going to turn you over to James because I think we're about to run out of time.
Well, your history is and research is beyond mine but I will look into that because what you say is quite interesting. I can just tell you that Trading with the Enemy Act has been on the books for a very, very long period of time. And unfortunately, despite the fact that it's quite clear to most loyal Americans that trading with countries like Iran is not something that we should be doing, there's many banks that do it.
God bless you, Bob Mazur, folks. Remember to check out his book, the-infiltrator.com. Bob, always our pleasure to host you, and we look forward to doing it again in the very near future. Take care, my friend.
Thank you.
That's it for our crew here in Memphis and in Utah at the network. I'm James, he's Eddie. For Keith, we say good night. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.